You're listening to the J John podcast. Joining J John this week is Ellie Linebear. Ellie is a worship leader, songwriter, and author of the book Say Goodbye to Anxiety. She shares her own personal experience of living with anxiety and how the love of God healed her from this battle. Subscribe to the J John podcast today to catch up with previous episodes. And as ever, if you want to find out more about the Christian faith, visit jjohn.com or follow J John on social media. You're listening to J John in conversation with Ellie Linebear.
Ellie, welcome to Facing the Canon.
Thank you. So great to be here.
Thank you so much. I can't not mention your parents. Your parents are?
They are Martin and Anna Smith, yes.
And how would you describe your father and he's done over many, many decades?
They are, first of all, I would say they're just two beautiful people. Two yes. good eggs, I would say.
Amen. They are.
But they just, I guess Dad, he was in a band called Delirious and toured a lot of his life, writing music, an amazing worship leader who I just, so much inspiration. And my sweet mum, she raised us six kids, would you believe it, at home. So together, such a duo, what a team. But they have done so much in their life and given so much, just so much sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice. And two of my role models, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've had the privilege, Ellie, of speaking with Delirious
yes.
several times over the years. And in recent years, your dad, Killy, and I, we've ministered together in Australia, which was absolutely wonderful.
So beautiful.
So you were raised in a Christian home,
yes.
but when did it become real for you and personal for you?
Yeah, I think being raised in a Christian home, so beautiful. You know, we'd go to church every Sunday. I was like, there was not a Sunday that we didn't go. It was just, it was so beautiful. My grandpa was the pastor of our local village church. And so I think growing up in that environment, worship music and seeing so much, honestly, it was a very charismatic church. So I feel like I saw so much from a very young age. These same eyes, like, I remember, you know, healings happening and people getting set free, deliverance. And I think, honestly, I look back and over the course of my life and just think, how could I like not believe? Like, how could I not? Because I've just seen and heard so much from a really young age.
Yeah, you've seen the tangible evidence
yeah.
of God working.
Honestly, just like miracles and the transformation of people. And so I remember, it seems so young, but I remember being 7 years old and being in my room and simply kneeling down and saying, Jesus, would you come into my life? Would you be my Lord and Saviour? And I now when I meet seven-year-olds, I'm like, gosh, like that's young. But I remember it so clear as day and just crying and crying and just feeling so overwhelmed with, just overwhelmed with gratitude. And so I think from that point, I knew him. I knew him. And I had a relationship with him.
At the age of seven,
I would speak to him. I remember going, doing my year six SATs, you know, and just speaking to Jesus was before I'd pick up my pen and all these different significant moments in my life. And but it wasn't until I was like 13, I remember, you know, going to secondary school. I was like the only Christian in my school too. So it was definitely a more trickier stage of my life, working things out, lots of questions, people asking me lots of questions at school. How do I do this? But I remember going on a trip with Dad, actually, and we went to Colombia in South America. And I had this nudge to go to one of these worship nights that he was leading at. And again, I've been to so many of these worship nights that Dad would have done, you know. But for this particular evening, I felt the nudge to go and not stay home at the hotel with my whole family. I just felt like I need to go. And I remember so clearly standing in the corner of this room. It was a massive, massive room filled, thousands and thousands of people filled, worshipping God. And I remember just asking God, like, would you show me that you're real, like, one more time? I feel like I just need one more reminder of, like, that you're real. And in that moment, I was filled with the Holy Spirit and just shook. I just, you know, Holy Spirit just came upon me in such a profound way, so memorable. And from that moment, I was like, oh, I'm so in. Thank you, Jesus. Like, wow, I just need that kind of like one more reminder, you know.
So it was like a saturation of the presence of Jesus by His Spirit.
So memorable and so tangible. So grateful for that encounter. And that was like my I am so in. I am so in, yeah.
And then from then on, you've just been passionately pursuing Jesus.
Oh, trying to be faithful in it all, you know, and trying to walk the walk, trying to be obedient the best I can. And now I'm a mother too. Like, it's looking, you know, I'm married. I feel like I'm being stretched in so many ways, but I just know that Jesus is the way, like, more than anything. Like, I just know that this is the only way to live. And what he gives, who he is, the relationship that you can have with Jesus is just, it's like no other. And so even though things can be tough, these things can be dark and tricky, but I know that Jesus is the way. And so we will keep going.
We will keep going. Yeah. As you said, you're a wife, you're a mother, you're a worship leader.
Yes.
When did you sense that call, gifting, anointing, that was the area that God was calling you to serve in?
Yes, I think I honestly pushed down a lot of that. I would get words spoken over my life, prophecies, from a really young age about doing this. And I think I literally just squashed every single one because of fear. I was like, no, not going to do that. Dad's done that. I don't need to do that. I want to stay at home. Like, I saw the flip side of what Dad was doing too, the home coming back and the sacrifice, but also the beautiful things that were happening as you step out, you know, and leading worship. And I think I just saw both sides. That just feels really hard. Like, I don't think that's for me. And so I always loved singing. I was passionate about singing, but again, I didn't want anyone to hear me sing. I didn't do school, like, music concerts or anything like that. And then it was about when I was 14, my worship pastor encouraged me to do some backing vocals for the Sunday service. And I was like, how? I don't think I can, like, harmonize. Why do you really want me to do this? But it was just a slow process of gaining confidence. And my dad has been so instrumental in just quietly, like, Els, why don't you try this? Why don't you come and sing with me at this event? And we don't even have to turn your microphone on. Just, like, see how this goes and how you feel. But it's felt like this real stepping stone of, like, gaining confidence and realizing that this is what God has called me to do. And I remember a really significant time was when I was 20 years old, and we were on a tour, again, a worship sort of tour that my dad was playing at. And I stood at the back of this arena, again, like I've done a thousand times before, which is beautiful. There's nothing better than the presence of God is there. But I remember just feeling like, I don't know the future. I don't know the dream. What are the dreams, Lord? Like, what do you want me to do here? You know, I was just about to get married too. It's a really pivotal stage of my life. What do you want us to do, you know, Tom and Ellie? And I remember he so clearly spoke to me and said, Els, I'm going to lead you into something similar to this, but you really have to trust me. And these sort of people might not come to, like, your shows or where you're going to be, but, like, trust in what I'm going to do. And I was just like, oh, gosh, no, please, God. Like, I don't really want to do this. Like, it was a battle, honestly, of utter fear. And I don't want to do this. This is terrifying. But, yeah, as he does, gently, you know, softens. He opened doors that, yeah, I could have never opened. And it's just been such a beautiful process, and trusting him and gaining confidence and claiming, actually, like, oh, wow, this is actually what you're leading me into.
Yes.
And it's not my doing at all. It's all him. And so it's definitely been a journey of realizing, oh, crumbs, this is what you've been wanting and, like, leading me to for a long time. But I've just squashed every prophecy and every word because of fear. And now I look back and there was a moment when my husband actually encouraged me to speak out the words that have been spoken over my life. And it felt like it was like a catapult of like words and pictures all at an instant. So I was like, crumbs, you've been speaking to me this whole time. And I'm just sorry I wasn't listening. I'm sorry that, yeah, out of fear, I was like almost disobedient, honestly. So now I love what I do that.
Yes.
I love leading worship.
Yes.
Now it's a joy. This is a joy of my life to lead others in worship and make music. So, yeah, we've got there.
But you know that scripture, King David said, you shaped me in my mother's womb.
Yes.
And S-H-A-P-E, what is our shape?
Mm.
And this is you, isn't it?
Mm.
This is like your S, your spiritual gifts, your H, heart,
mm.
A, ability, P, personality and experience. He's taken all of that
wow.
and he's using it now. It's beautiful.
Oh, wow.
It really is beautiful. So how does someone become a worship leader today?
I don't know. I guess, I think for me, honestly, like serving at a local church has been just so fundamental. And that's not even just like on the worship team. That's just like doing the teas and coffees and things. Being part of the local community has formed me as like for my character, honestly, most of all. And it was never my intention again to like do this, honestly. Like, I really feel like the Lord, he orders our steps, doesn't he? He opens the doors, he shuts the doors. And I think, honestly, it's just being obedient and, you know, the things that he's called us to do, the tiny things, like they all add up, don't they? And but I think, yeah, just turning up, honestly, turning up to things and like serving.
That's the key word, isn't it?
It's
turning up ready to serve.
Yeah.
Whether it's coffee,
whether
it's preaching, whether it's worship
stacking
leading.
Stacking the chairs.
Whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it? And I think my observation, Ellie, is that the best worship leaders are the people who are worshippers.
Mm, yes.
And in fact, you can't be one unless you're a worshipper.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can see it when the lead worshipper is a worshipper.
Yeah, that is the main thing. Like, you've got to love to worship because we do it a lot, don't we?
Absolutely.
And we're going to continue to worship all the days of our lives and into heaven. So I feel like that is key, that your heart. And I think something I often think about, and I've been thinking about a lot at the moment, is the, you know, clean hands, pure heart thing.
Yes.
And that is really important. And we can kind of skip over those things.
Yeah.
What does that really mean? But to have clean hands and a pure heart, and to ask God to really purify us and to pursue holiness, I think that is not a simple thing, you know, but it's a heart posture, isn't it?
It is. And that applies to every one of us who want to follow Jesus, holiness and humility.
Mm, yeah, totally.
And humility is to receive praise and to pass it on to God untouched.
Love that.
Isn't it? Just let it go up there, isn't it?
Yes.
Because sometimes it's easy for, you know, people maybe to come up to you or to me and, you know, congratulate us.
Yes.
And you don't want to kind of, you know, not acknowledge it. So
yes.
I say, thank you.
Yeah,
and
wow.
And then let it waft up.
So good.
To heaven.
Yes.
Because as you said earlier on, it's the Lord.
Yeah, it was all his doing. I love Brooke Lidgewood once.
Oh, yes.
She told this story. I think she was telling a story of someone else who also said this, but when people compliment her or say, like, wow, you led so well, she almost like takes that as like a flower and then collects flowers throughout the day of like what people said. And at the end of the day, she gives that bouquet to Jesus to be like,
yes,
this is all you're doing. This is all because of you. And I love that picture of like, yeah, it'd be rude to be like, no, I wasn't great, was I? You know, push it away. But so, like, thank you so much.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Very encouraging. And then back to the Lord with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. My friend Zach, the evangelist that was at the recent revival in America, he was telling me that they changed the wording for the green room.
Mm.
And instead of calling it the green room, they called it the consecration room.
Yes.
And when the Asprey revival came, everyone that took part in any way publicly had to go into the consecration room.
Wow.
And he said many of them never came out. And what was really interesting, he told me that some very well-known worship leaders wanted to see the Asbury revival, and they came, and he saw them and thought, oh, wouldn't it be great if they got up and led a song or two? Mm-hmm. And they reluctantly agreed, but they only wanted to be there to see what was God doing. But he said, you can't lead the song unless you go to the consecration
wow,
room.
So, wow.
And they never came out. So they never led. That's interesting, isn't it?
That is beautiful, though. I mean, we all need that, don't we?
We all need that.
Wow, that's...
It says of King David that he served God in his generation. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we love about doing these interviews is that we've got people of all different generations, and it's wonderful to have you as kind of a new generation of people. And it says in the good book that God says, sing me a new song.
Yeah.
So that's always what you've been entrusted with.
Yes.
It's time to sing a new song for a new generation.
Yes.
What's bubbling up within you?
Oh, man, yeah. I think, gosh, it's like it's a beautiful responsibility, isn't it? When you feel the call of God to do certain things. And I think as an older sister of five younger siblings too, like, I feel like I've been my whole life kind of like a mothering sort of character in the sense of, you know, being with my siblings, bringing them up and, don't do that. Don't let, you know... This whole thing of the next generation, Gen Z, they're all Gen Z actually, and I'm at the tipping point of Gen Z. I'm in the middle of the millennial and the Gen Z. But I do feel this like beautiful responsibility to lead well, but just to simply point people to Jesus at the end of the day. It's like I hope my life, my songs, my conversations hopefully will lead people and fix their eyes on Jesus. And whether that's a song that will be sung at church or a song that will be played on the radio or a song that will be played on just a little piano in a prayer room, you know, I just hope that the goal is to encourage and to cheer on the next generation, to be like, for me, Jesus is the way, and I want to encourage this next generation to be like, oh, everything else can fade away. Everything, you know, you can try that, whatever, but nothing else will compare to the love of Jesus. And it's the best life is in Jesus. And so I hope for this next generation. And it's that, again, the clean hands, pure heart thing of, I go on about it, but it's, Lord, like, please help, just purify us. Like, get rid of the stuff that is not needed and the baggage and what do we need to repent of? Like, cleanse us, Lord. Like, you know, I don't want to be old and grey and have just like stuff that like I could have got rid of a long time ago, whether that be fear or sin or, you know, the list goes on. And so I kind of just want to keep encouraging not only my siblings as like a hub, but this generation, but like, come on, like pursue the goodness, pursue the goodness of him and shake it off.
Yeah.
Get free as soon as you can, because the life that he has for you is just, It's a beautiful one. I hope it's just almost everything. I hope it's just an encouragement to that.
One of the things I love about you, Ellie, is how real and vulnerable you are. And I think that's very good and healthy and important. Mm. And you co-authored a book, Say Goodbye to Anxiety. Mm. And again, this reflects how, you know, you're very open and honest. What prompted you to co-author this book?
Yes. So I wrote this. It's a 40-day devotional with my friend called Jane. And really, I think we got to the point where we'd both experienced anxiety in our lives. She's 10 years older than me. And in her life, her journey of anxiety has been so different to mine. But I think we came together as friends, be like, do you know what? Enough's enough. Like, there is so much that anxiety is robbing and stealing and killing of people, you know, that is squashing, minimalizing, silencing people. It's stopping people leaving their homes and their rooms. And being, again, an older sister, I was just hearing so many stories of my siblings' friends and my own friends of their struggles. And I think me and Jane were just like, oh, how do we, with our experience of getting free of anxiety, how do we encourage now people to also get free?
Yes.
And say goodbye. Because this is not the life that, again, Jesus died for. I think, you know, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And that is something that I've clung to, that when I was experiencing serious anxiety and I felt like such a pit, and just realizing, I feel like Jesus kept reminding me of little Ellie and like my younger self, and the innocence, the purity, the fun, the life. And if she knew the Ellie now who's experiencing anxiety and how fearful she was about the future, just how gutting that would have been for her. And so my pursuit to like freedom and to almost like, for the sake of like little Ellie, for the future of her life, you know, to pursue freedom. And Jesus is so kind, has been very, very gracious. So we decided to write this book to simply help other people, honestly.
It's so crippling and exhausting, anxiety, isn't it? And it's draining. I think it was Corrie ten Boom who said something, it's like sitting in a rocking chair and rocking all day, but going nowhere.
Yes, and it bubbles up and you're like, how did you get there? How did you know that that was, you know? But it's just having the tools, honestly, to just kind of like chop the head off. And just,
you know? Okay. So why are we so, Ellie, why are we so vulnerable to anxiety? Why do we get sucked into that?
I mean, I think that you could say a million things, honestly, but I know that there's, you know, it's not a war against flesh and blood, is it?
No.
And there's a bigger thing going on.
There's a spiritual battle.
Yes. And I think, you know, day to day, we don't talk about that, do we? We don't talk about like, oh, but the reality is that there's bigger stuff going on. And the enemy is a sneaky, sneaky old thing and can weave these little fears, whatever, that can blow up into big things and can halt people's lives or, you know, drastic things.
But we magnify those. And that's one of the great things about worship, isn't it? When we magnify the Lord, these diminish.
Yes, absolutely. And gratitude. I've learned that gratitude is a massive weapon in the sense of when you thank Jesus for really the little things, the big things, the anxiety just dwindles, honestly, because when you have a thankful heart, when you turn your eyes on the good, the other stuff has to fade away. I think there's something like scientific about it too.
Yeah, sure.
About gratitude and anxiety. But I know for me, a huge thing, worship is, speaking out truth.
It's freeing, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, anxiety feels in many ways, you know, we're tied up in a straitjacket. How do we get rid of that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, honestly, I feel worship has been a huge part of my journey to freedom and speaking out loud the truth, what he says.
Yeah, declaring it.
Declaring it, opening your mouth, singing it, shouting it, you know, writing it down. Because it is alive, isn't it? The word
Absolutely.
Is alive, sharper than double-edged sword. And that is something that I've learned to love too, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, oh wow, this isn't just a lovely book, this is like alive and can cut things off. But yeah, worship, I would play this one EP again and again when I was in the pit by Katie and Brian Tortwall, and I would just play this EP all the time, and it was just words of truth. One of the songs was called Praise Before My Breakthrough. And for me, that element of just, oh gosh, I don't know when this is going to come to an end and when I'm going to be free of this, but I'm going to praise my way through it and choose to, as tough as it was, it wasn't easy. It's not like, woo, yeah, like this is fun. It's like, oh, this is like battle stuff that you have to, but he's a gracious, gracious God. And I've learned so much even from Jane, my friend. There's so much in here that she talks about that it's just like, it's just powerful that people's stories, how Jesus has met with different people
it's just so encouraging.
This is so helpful, Ellie. And, you know, our prayer is if you are struggling with anxiety, you may find this really helpful. And I like the fact that it's bite size each day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's, that was the plan.
And we're just about to start a book club too, an online book club. So if, yeah, grab a book, join the book club, and we're going to be going through it for sure.
Absolutely. How do you see the future for you, Ellie? I mean, young, you've got decades ahead of you. It's exciting.
I am excited. I feel just grateful, honestly. I'm mother of two boys now, so just raising them, honestly. Who knows if we'll have more children, but... I don't know what more music. I've got a new project coming out, which I'm very excited about.
And what's that?
I have no idea.
Oh, but you just sense it.
No, it's recorded. Yes, but it's coming.
It'll be coming out soon.
Yeah,
So you're being creative.
Yeah, writing a lot, releasing music, coming together. And just honestly, it's a joy to go and visit and lead at different churches around the world and see what God is doing. That is such an honour to see. And there's so many different denominations, and that he's up to all sorts. You know, he's working. He's setting people free. There's salvations. There's healings, and I want to see more of that, and to bring my boys along to see that, just like my family did.
Absolutely, very exciting, Ellie, that God has called you for a time such as this, and. I pray that prayer that Jabez prayed for you, that the Lord will bless you indeed, that he would widen your influence and that God's hand would be upon you and that he would protect you and your family from harm. And last night, Killy and I were in the kitchen telling Alexa to play your songs.
I love that.
and I love the song that you and your father wrote together.
Yes, Eyes on You.
Eyes on You. Ellie, keep on keeping on. Thanks so much for joining us on Facing the Canon.
Thank you for having me.
I really hope you've enjoyed that. I hope it's inspired you and encouraged you. Look at the book and tune into the melody of heaven. Thank you for joining us on Facing the Canon. Please join us again.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the J. John podcast, press subscribe to be notified about future episodes. I do hope you found encouragement from listening to today's conversation with Ellie Leinberg. I loved hearing about her desire to see the next generation free from anxiety and learning how to pursue freedom through magnifying the Lord and declaring truth over ourselves and the situations we face. If you're a frequent listener to this program, you will know about Running the Race of Your Life, the short booklet produced by J. John that is ideal to be given away to others during the Olympic and Paralympic Games 2024. Find out more about this initiative, request a free sample copy, and place your order at raceofyourlife.co.uk. You've been listening to J. John in conversation with Ellie Leinberg.